year, the church celebrates the great feast of Pentecost, which is the feast of the Holy Spirit. And there are three symbols that are classically associated with the Spirit, namely water, fire, and wind. I want to point out first that each one of those has a very negative overtone, because the Holy Spirit is dangerous. Let me develop that idea first. Water. Those of us who live on the far side of Katrina know that water can pack a terrible punch. Think of the water that came from the sky and from the sea and from those reservoirs that poured through the broken levees. Basically brought a major American city to its knees, and we're still dealing with the effects of that terrible event. Fire. As I record these words, there's a terrible brush fire raging in eastern Arizona. They say it's now the size in area of the city of Chicago. And they're doing what they can to control it, but basically they have to wait till, you know, it rains and puts the fire out. It's threatening not only the earth, but threatening all sorts of cities and villages. What can you do in the face of that enormous destructive power? Not much. Then, of course, wind. Just a few weeks ago, we saw the tornadoes that swept through the American South, and then the really terrible one that came through Joplin, Missouri. People who were there say it was just like an atomic bomb falling on the city. Businesses and homes and a major hospital all just obliterated by the power of wind. Well, the Holy Spirit, who is water, fire, and wind, is in a similar way destructive. I remember years ago when I was at a theological college in Washington, we had a wonderful man who was our rector named Father Tony Lobo, and he gave a sermon. I've never forgotten it. And the climax of the sermon was, "Gentlemen, the love of God is not a warm fuzzy." You know, we tend to think of God and God's love in sort of sentimental terms. The Holy Spirit is ferocious and dangerous. Now, what do I mean? I mean that the Holy Spirit comes after all those things that stand opposed to God and God's ways. God's love, which indeed is not a warm fuzzy, God's love knocks things down. God's love obliterates certain things. God's love cleans things out. Now, I think this is the best way to understand the time we're going through. And I've spoken about this before, but the sex abuse scandal in our country, first of all, is the worst crisis in the history of the American church. I would have said, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, I would have said the period in the 19th century when the know-nothings were organizing themselves politically against Catholics, when they were burning down convents and monasteries and all that. But this is worse than that time. We're going through the worst crisis in our history. And secondly, we're still going through it. It's not simply over. We're enduring it now. What are we enduring? A very hard time indeed. Not just, you know, financially for the church, but in every way. I've argued that the sex abuse crisis has undermined our work in every way. How do you read that? Well, read it sociologically, read it politically, read it psychologically, any way you want. But I think we have to read it biblically. What we're witnessing, I would say, is this terrible power of the Holy Spirit in its cleansing and flattening and purifying expression. What's the Holy Spirit doing? Knocking some things down, burning some things up, washing some things away. Now, is it for an ultimately good purpose? Yes, indeed. It's for the purpose of cleansing the church. It's for the purpose of protecting the innocent. But that doesn't make it any easier to go through. Are we enduring the cleansing and purifying work of the Holy Spirit because of this terrible crime? Yes. Also, are the enemies of the church, to some degree, involved in this? Of course they are. So in the Old Testament, God typically hands Israel over to its enemies for purification. That's how they read the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans. Are we being handed over today to our enemies to some degree? Sure. It's under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in its negative, purifying, chastising mode. Okay. Is that all there is to it? No. Go back to those three symbols. Water is destructive indeed. It can be. But water is also that power that gives life to everything on the planet. Right? Without water, there's no life. fire is destructive indeed, but fire, if you look at it in the grandest sense, is behind all of our technology. Wind, destructive indeed, sure. But think of the last time you took off in an airplane. It's basically wind that lifted up that huge machine. Wind is enormously powerful in a constructive way. So, the Holy Spirit is operative positively in the church. I want to read you something from St. Paul. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone." Well, see, just as water, the one element water, gives rise to all these forms of vegetation and life, so the one Spirit is even now giving rise to all this ministry and life in the church. As wind is going to lift up, you know, millions of airplanes, so the Holy Spirit lifts up millions of different forms of life and ministry in the church. As electricity fires all of our technology, so the Holy Spirit is firing all the different ministries in the church. Here's the thing. The Spirit's destructive, the Spirit cleanses, and now the Spirit rebuilds and raises up. For us now, we have to cooperate with it. Cooperating with the Spirit's chastisement might mean simply enduring it in faith. Maybe that's how we cooperate with it. But now on the positive side, we cooperate with it whenever we say, "Okay, Lord, what's my task? What's my role? How is the wind of your Holy Spirit lifting me up? How is the water of your Spirit now enlivening me for my work? How is the electricity, the fire of your Spirit illuminating me and energizing me?" If we want to be, as baptized members of the body of Christ, if we want to be part of the solution to this problem we're going through, that's the work of discernment we have to do, is to determine how the Spirit is operating and then cooperate with it. How is the water of the Spirit rushing through us? How is the fire of the Spirit burning in us? How is the wind of the Spirit lifting us up?